Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
But I want to pray as we enter into God's Word, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I sense and I feel your presence, Holy Spirit. God, I came to encounter you. I came to feel your presence. I came to experience the power of your anointing. God, I pray that by the hearing of your word, faith would arise in this house. God, I pray that a fresh anointing to hear and to be doers of your word would fall fresh on us. God, I thank you that you are calling us higher. You're calling us deeper and you're challenging us this morning. I pray for your anointing, God. May we have ears that can hear and hearts that can receive. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. Amen. I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. And as I begin and give you some context of God's word, the title for today's message is this: for real change to occur, our comfort zone must be disturbed. Oh, right then and there. Okay, I got you standing. You're not sitting. For real change to occur, something supernatural just happened. When you heard those words, something happened in the supernatural. Something was agitated in your spirit. I know whenever God put it on my heart to proclaim that, it was agitated in my spirit, because no one likes to have their comfort zone disturbed. No one likes to be out of their comfort zone, but the Holy Spirit needs to have his way in our lives. The Holy Spirit needs to have its way today. And as I preach what God, you sent me to preach, I proclaim this once again: for real change to occur, our comfort zone must be disturbed. I believe we are living in the last days, and God is shaking us, church. Come on, somebody. He is shaking us in a way that real change is coming, whether we like it or not. And if you can bear with me, if you can just grapple with, reason with me, as Paul said, reason with me as I grapple with God's word this morning. I plan to debunk a 21st century misconception of Christian faith and practice. I've come with a mandate. The misconception is this: God did not call us to be comfortable. God did not call us to be comfortable. I have an assignment from the Holy Spirit this morning to help us recognize that this statement is not true. And the statement is this: God will never give us more than we can handle. That statement is simply not true. Listen to the context of God's word for real change this morning. The disciples were exhausted. The disciples, they were being pushed by Jesus to their limits. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. And Jesus was in the prime of his teaching ministry. He was doing miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere he went. People would come from miles when they heard he was coming just to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. He was in the prime of his healing ministry. Praise God that he still heals today. Amen. And the disciples had seen things that no one had ever experienced before. The blind were given back their sight. Praise God. The lame were made whole to walk again. Unclean lepers were made clean in Jesus' name. Those that were oppressed and held captive by evil spirits were set free by the power and presence of God Almighty. Jesus had used his disciples to just feed thousands of people. When the disciples thought it was best to send the crowds away, Jesus said, no, y'all are going to feed them. Y'all aren't comfortable with this yet, but you're going to do it. You don't understand how, but I'm going to show you how. You're going to do it, and so get to work. And when the disciples said, all we have is 2 fish and 5 loaves, Jesus said, feed them anyways. Do it anyways. You don't have what it takes, but I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to do something supernatural. This is the context. They were stretched to their limit, and Jesus kept pushing them forward to their potential. And so the reading of God's word this morning, Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says this powerful verse. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd, thousands of people he had just fed. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, Jesus was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. Oh my goodness, walking on the water, walking on the lake. If you don't know, our God can do all things. He was walking on the lake. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a made-up hyperbole. This is not an analogy or a parable. Jesus walked to them on the lake. Literal. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they, praise God, were like many of us would be. They were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." Somebody needs that this morning. You're facing something that scares you. Jesus is saying, "Take courage. I'm here. I'm with you." And this is where the story gets real good. This is where it gets interesting. Because in verse 28, it says this. Peter replied to Jesus and said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." Oh, praise God. If somebody would get that spirit in you this morning. If it's you, Jesus, tell me to come out. Jesus said one powerful word, "Come." Oh, Lord, will you call us as a church to come out on the water this morning? Then Peter got down out of the boat, and Peter walked on the water. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God is not a respecter of persons. Peter did it. You can do it. That's power. Peter walked on the water and came towards Jesus, but when he saw the wind, Peter was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Do you know Jesus is there to be our ever-present help in time of need? He is going to reach out and help us if we ever need. He said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat. And as soon as they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, may your anointing fall fresh on this word this morning. Open the wisdom and the revelation of your word to us in a profound way. God, I may your anointing fall fresh on the reading of your word. May our hearts be fertile soil, Jesus, and may we step out when you say come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We love you very, very much, church. I believe in you, and God believes in you. He has anointed us to do incredible things in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. I want you to help me preach this morning because God has called us as a church to do the impossible. You are capable of impossible things through God. I sense and feel as I've prayed that many have walked in this room needing an encouraging word. I don't know about you, but God wants to encourage us this morning with his word. If you've been walking through a difficult season in your life, I've been praying specifically for you this week. I've been interceding for you, and I'm here to declare victory is on its way in Jesus' name. Revival is on its way in Jesus' name. Breakthrough is on its way in Jesus' name. The overcoming power of the Holy Spirit is available. I have a message from heaven, and it's simply this. God wants you and I to rise above the storm. He wants us to walk on water and place our troubles under our feet, church. God wants the storms of this life to be subjected to us. We are to have dominion over this world. We have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, church. I pray in Jesus' name, breakthrough is coming around this corner. The storm is heavy, but the one who walks on the waves is on his way. I'm thankful for his word. You have never done it before, but I've come to remind you. Maybe I know Peter's the only one besides Jesus that I know of that has walked on water, but I've come to remind myself and I've come to remind you that you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. God sent me to tell somebody to hold on. Hold on. Don't give up because the purpose behind the pain you've been experiencing is about to be revealed in Jesus' name. You've been going through a dark season. There's been wind and waves and struggle. Lightning is crashing. Thunder is rumbling. I'm here to tell somebody God knows exactly where you're at, and the purpose behind your pain is about to be revealed. That's good news this morning. The storm will not be the end of you. This storm will not be the end of you in Jesus' name. I came this morning to give someone who walked in the room with very little left in the tank a fresh fire to keep you going. Somebody needs to not give up this morning. Somebody needs to know God is with you and He's calling you out. I came to remind someone that has been wondering if God is going to see you through what you've been going through. The answer is yes, He's going to. He's faithful. Our God is faithful, church. I'm going to say it again. Our God is faithful, and He is true to His word. He's true to His word, and my Bible tells me in Philippians 1, verse 6, it's one of my favorites, it's, we can be confident of this, that He who has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Thank you, God, for your word. The scripture in Matthew 14 is very clear that Jesus sent His disciples to the other side. He sent them ahead. This was a holy directive. I want you to recognize this. It was a command from the very mouth of the Son of God. And when the command from the mouth of the Son of God, that means as disciples we do it, right? And Jesus made them go ahead of Him, and Jesus put them on a boat. Get this, reason with me for a moment. Jesus put them on a boat that would lead them into the heart of a raging storm. He is God Almighty. He is both fully man and fully God. So Jesus knew that the storm was coming. Jesus knew, He foreknew in advance that where He was leading them was directly into the eye of the storm. And you may not like this truth at first, but I believe God's word is trying to teach you and I this morning that there are times God will lead us into a storm in order to activate real change in our lives. There are times where you will actually be led into trouble so that real change can agitate you, get you out of your comfort zone, and stir you up. There is trouble that will cause you to pray harder. And geez, come on, somebody. There's fights that are on our doorstep that God isn't necessarily creating, but He's going to allow so that we can have real change. Each week of this series, we've seen dichotomies in God's word. The two women who tried to convince Solomon that their baby was theirs. The one was lying and the other was being honest. And we saw how the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit flowed through Paul, and even just touching his handkerchief brought healing and breakthrough. And we saw the counterfeit in the seven sons of Sceva, where the demonic presence rose up and said, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? I don't ever want that to happen. Praise God. That was week two. And week three, we saw how being grateful can cause and produce the power and presence of God. Thanksgiving, we saw 10 lepers that were healed, and only 10 were fully healed, but only nine did not thank Jesus, but one came. There was a dichotomy, and God wants you and I this morning. I see a dichotomy. It's not as clear as the others, but God wants you and I this morning to be water walkers, church. He wants us to be water walkers. He wants you and I to defy the laws of this world in order to display the greatness of our God, church. Even if things are not looking good in your life, and even if the report has been negative, even if things have been falling through and falling apart, God sent me to remind us this morning that we still serve a God who can do all things. Nothing is impossible for them that believe. He can still speak to the wind and the waves, and they will be still. Thank you, Jesus. I came to preach this morning that our God is still sovereign. He sits on heaven's throne. I came this morning to help you with a phrase that you need to get in your repertoire to fight against the enemy. Our theology is not dictated by our circumstance. Although all heaven may try to bless us and all hell may try to come against us, we will believe in the Lord and His word no matter what comes or goes. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our theology should not be swayed. We serve a God that still holds the whole world in the palm of his hand, church. We still serve a Romans 8:28 God that is able to work all things. Somebody shout, all things. He's able to work all things out for those who love him and are called according to his purpose and his plan. And I'm looking at an audience that is called by God. You've got a purpose. You've got a plan for your life. And so God is going to work all things out for our good in Jesus' name. Amen. God sent me to remind someone this morning who thinks their situation is too big and too overwhelming for God to make a way where there seems to be no way. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Nothing is too big for God. I pray in Jesus' name that our faith would arise. See, I'm here this morning to proclaim that we still serve an Ephesians 3:20 God. Jesus told Peter to come, and Peter walked on water. He walked on the water, church. He did the impossible. I want you to listen to God's word this morning, Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more. If we will just trust him and believe him at his word, I pray that faith would arise in this house as it comes through the hearing of God's word. God is able. He's able, church. I'm going to say it again because whatever you're going through or thinking that's causing you to think otherwise, you need to hear these words reverberate in your mind's eye. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more. Somebody should shout more right now. More. God, you can do more. You cannot just meet my need. You can exceed my need. You're not just going to cause our dreams to come true. You're going to exceed our dreams according to your riches. If you need God to do more, you need to praise him right now. You need to give up a shout of praise. God, we thank you that you're about to do more. I'm here this morning with a bold message that if Peter can walk on water, which he most certainly did, because God's word is true, then I'm here to declare that you can walk above the circumstances of your storm that you're facing right now. You can put your problems under your feet in the name of Jesus. If you don't think you have what it takes, if you don't think that's possible, please let me remind you that you have Jesus. And if you have Jesus, praise God, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is alive and active in you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. That is good news this morning. That's an encouraging word. If you walked in this morning on the brink of giving in and giving up, if you're tuning into this live stream right now and you don't have much hope because of your situation and you could barely even flip on the internet, maybe you feel like you don't have what it takes to keep moving forward, to keep pressing on, to keep pressing towards the mark. God sent me this morning to tell you, you are exactly where God wants you. Real change is on its way. Jesus sent them into the middle of the storm. And God knows where you're at, church. He knows what you're dealing with. See, I'm confident this morning walking on the water transformed Peter's life. Walking on the water changed his life forever. And I bet the other disciples, it's not in God's word, but I bet the other disciples got tired of Peter talking about it. Hey, y'all, remember that one time? Where I got out of the boat and y'all didn't. Y'all remember where Jesus called me out and not you? Right? Like, I walked on water. This ain't nothing. Like, I can just imagine Peter was a fireball. And if he's anything like me, he was telling his brothers, man, I can't believe that happened. I'm just going to remind you. Did y'all see that? Because I saw that. That was cool. That's just how I read my Bible. Y'all need to read it because it's alive. I am confident the 11 others who watched, I'm confident that they wished they had the guts to get out of the boat. They see, therein lies the dichotomy. It's not necessarily good versus evil this time, but there's a dichotomy. There's people who choose to get out of the boat and people who stay behind. There's people who step out of their comfort zone and there's people who hide in their comfort zone. There's people who are willing to obey the voice of God, and there's people who shrink back when Jesus speaks. There's a dichotomy in this passage. They recognize Peter walking on the water with Jesus was a powerful moment, and the other disciples recognized in that moment that trusting Jesus at his word leads to the greatest adventure of this life. It leads to the most miraculous things taking place. But just because they stayed behind meant they missed out. Many of us today find ourselves in a storm. I'm confident of that. I hear from you often, and I'm praying for the storm that you're facing. But I'm here this morning as a messenger. If the storms of this life are raging and it seems like chaos is breaking out all around you, God sent me this morning to communicate that our great God is about to cause real change in your life if you'll just hold on. If you'll just hold on. Many of us are in a storm. But I believe in order to do the amazing thing God has called us as a church to do, we need to see our difficult situations differently, church. We need to see them not, there's not a devil under every bush. Some of the things we're dealing with aren't satanic. I know many of them are, but some of the things are just a loving God trying to cause us to change, to spur us to growth, cause us to strain a little bit, because when we strain, that's when the muscle grows. Come on, somebody. Peter, I believe he wants to do amazing things in this church, and we need to see our situations differently. Many of us need that paradigm shift. This morning, you need to look at your struggle differently. You need to look at your storm differently. We need to a fresh perspective from heaven. I pray that almost every day of my life. Lord, let me see the way you see. Let me see the perspective of heaven right now. And God's word is calling us this morning. It's challenging us this morning that if something does not challenge you, it will not change you. If something doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. I know that kind of stings a little bit, because wait a second, I don't like to be challenged. I'm a leader. I'm a boss. I'm supposed to be in charge, but guess what? I'm not in charge. I am a servant of the Most High God. I am but the one who serves is the greatest in the kingdom. Peter and the other disciples, they experienced the exact same storm. That's many of us, we come to church week in and week out, and one person's going to experience something that another person doesn't when they come into the same room and hear the same word and experience the same presence. It depends on what we do with God's word that changes us. And Peter was in the same storm, but only Peter got out of the boat, church. Only Peter. This shows us that 98% of the world wants to stay in their comfort zone. That's just a reality. If you boil it down, only 2% dare to reach for success by being fearless and chase their passion while embracing the confidence they need to live out their dreams. That's true. Psychologists suggest, I studied this, that we will not change. Hear this morning. We're not going to change until the pain of the consequence of not changing becomes greater to outweigh the pleasure of staying the same. We're not going to change until the pain of not changing becomes greater than the pleasure of staying the same. My guess is that Peter had endured many storms like this as a fisherman. His vocation was on the water. He was an expert at what he did. And he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he realized he didn't want to live a life that was comfortable anymore. He didn't want to stay in his comfort zone. He left his comfort zone of his past and was following hard after Jesus. And that, God gave him the ability to get out of the boat. Praise God for that. God sent me to encourage someone this morning and remind us all that we might have to endure some sorrow through the night, but joy is coming in the morning, church. Joy is coming in the morning. The storm was scary, but walking on the water was the greatest thrill of Peter's lifetime. I'm confident of that. Someone needs to be encouraged this morning that we still serve a God that turns weeping into dancing. Come on, somebody. He is the God that makes beauty out of ashes. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if God is for us, then who can stand against us, church? Thank you, God. It may be hard to see it when we're in the middle of the storm because our perspective gets skewed. whenever we're in the middle of a raging storm. But the reality is, real change and real growth almost always is partnered with real challenges. When we grow the most, it's because we've gone through the most. When we're stretched the most, it's because we've needed to stretch the most. We're pushed the most. We're challenged the most. This morning, God sent me to challenge what I believe to be an inaccurate statement that God will never give you more than you can handle. That's just simply, when I read the context of God's word, I see over and over that God gives us more than we can handle. When I study God's word in its full context, I think the opposite's true. He places more on us so that we'll trust him. He puts more on us so we will believe him. Many times God will give us more than we can handle because it forces you and I to rely on him. I can't do this on my own, God. I can't do this without you, Jesus. See, my Bible tells me that we have this treasure in earthen vessels to prove that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The Apostle Paul said it like this: it's in my weakness that Christ's power is revealed in me. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. Many times being in over our head is exactly where Jesus wants us, because that's where real change begins. When you're overwhelmed, you're right in the plan and purpose of the Almighty God. He wants to change. Give some practical personal examples, because I love to be honest, open, and transparent. We got married on Jubilee's 20th birthday, church. That was a day I can never forget, because now there's not just one present. That was a part of the prenup. Well, I can't just have one gift. I gotta celebrate her birthday too. And praise God, can I just tell you that was real change? Getting married as a 20-year-old man, we were babies, y'all. We were babies. Can I just be honest? I was so naive. I had no clue what I was agreeing to, and she can testify, but I'm fully admitting that when we got married, I did not have what it takes to be a good husband. I was way in over my head. I was young, dumb, and broke. Can I get a witness? But here's the deal. God called me to do something higher. God called me to do something more than I was capable of doing in my own strength. He called me to marry Jubilee, and thank God I married up. Praise Jesus. She is the most brilliant, beautiful, tender-hearted woman on the face of this planet, and I still need Jesus to be the husband she deserves. But God, I was on a learning curve from day one. From day one, I was given more than I could handle. But thank you, Jesus, that he's helped me every step of the way. I'll give another example. I'll never forget the first day that we were released from the hospital to bring our son, Damien. He looks like he's 16 on the front row. I'll never forget that first day from the hospital where we were first-time parents. And when Damien arrived, no lie, he looked at us when the doctor placed her in Jubilee's arm. He looked at us with confusion, like, what just happened? It was amazing, because even at the very time of his birth, he just had this experience of knowing everything that's happening. He's very observant, if you know him very well. And when he arrived, he looked at us like, what just happened in church? I was in way over my head to be a father. I could barely even buckle the car seat, y'all. Let alone protect and care for someone that needed absolutely everything done for him. When Damien came, we no longer had a nurse button to call the nurse when we had a question. We no longer could take him to the nursery when we needed some sleep. Parents, can I get a witness? We didn't have the ability to have someone else change his nasty diaper. It was disgusting. We were in way over our heads, and God gave us way more than we could handle. It's just practical. When I was 19, God called me to go to Bible school and get formal training for the work of the ministry of the gospel. And one of the requirements was 2 semesters of what's called Koine Greek. It's what the New Testament was written in the original language. And I had a professor by the name of Dr. Don Bowdle, and he had 3 doctorates in Greek. And his goal, his purpose, and his mission in life as a 70-plus-year-old man was to weed out the men from the boys. His purpose in being a theology professor at a Bible school was to make sure these pastors aren't going to be mamby-pamby people. These are going to be men of God that actually know God's word. And it was so difficult because Greek is like hieroglyphics, church. It was all Greek to me. And literally, church, I made practically straight A's in Bible school, but praise God, I celebrated my C minus on that second semester. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because God had given me more than I could handle in Dr. Battle. I was willing, though. That's the key. I was willing to get uncomfortable. And that uncomfortable moment, those uncomfortable moments, produced real change today that I can rightly divide God's word. I can read it and I can parse it. I can look at the original Greek and I can rightly divide God's word because of the painful discomfort I was willing to go through. And when Peter stepped out of the boat, I believe Peter knew he was getting in way over his head. He knew that without Jesus, it would be impossible to walk on water. He had to have faith to believe that Jesus could empower him. He had to know that he knew that he knew that if Jesus calls me, I can do all things. And Peter had to trust Jesus. When Jesus said that simple but very powerful word that he's calling us to this morning, he said, come. Come, Peter. It took faith to get out of the boat. And this morning, God is calling that same faith out of us. He's calling that same faith out of us. It takes faith to get out of our comfort zone. It takes faith to face the storms of this life. Hebrews 11, 6 promises us it is without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Please hear the message God sent me to convey this morning. God wants our dependence, church. He wants our dependence. God requires our trust, and it is impossible to please him without our faith. He desires our ambition to experience life to the fullest. He wants us to be people, men and women who want to step out of the boat, men and women who want to walk on water, men and women who want to do the impossible. That means there are going to be times he calls us out of the boat and far from our comfort zones, far from him. The storm was buffeting the ship, and that meant, from other perspectives in the Gospels, that meant the ship was in trouble. The boat was taking on water and was about to sink, but church, the storm had no power in comparison to Jesus. It had no power or authority without Jesus allowing it. Great difficulties can be overcome by patience and perseverance, church. Oh, that's good news this morning. Great difficulties can be overcome with patience and perseverance. Today, you and I, we've got a choice. Are we going to play it safe from the boat of comfort, or are we going to be like Peter and walk on water? That's the question this morning. Are we going to be afraid of the storm we're facing, or are we going to see through it and see that our circumstance is an opportunity for real change? Come on, somebody. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We shall walk and not grow faint. For the Lord is going before us, and his joy is going to be our strength. Come on, somebody. That's a good word this morning. Paul said it like this. Paul said, I count it all joy when persecution, trials, and tribulations come my way. He was able to say this because he knew the storms he was facing was actually producing real change in his life. He knew that what he was dealing with was what was growing him up, what was establishing him as a mighty man of God, what was calling him further and deeper into the power and presence of God. Paul said, I bear on my body the brand marks of Christ. And he celebrated his difficulties because he got to participate in living like Christ. And he saw the trials as a way to participate in the resurrection power that Jesus displayed. Man, if we could only be like that, our church would revolutionize our culture. See, church, real change comes through persevering through the challenge, persevering through our challenge, getting yourself through the storm you're facing. Real change happens when we don't give up. We can't give up. We can't afford to quit now. Quitting is not an option. Somebody needs that this morning. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy win. The only way that evil can win is when good people sit back and do nothing. Let me warn you, this next statement might sting a little bit. Real change doesn't come from us spectating in the boat. Real change doesn't come from us being a witness. Real change happens when we push through the pain of our current situation to face the fear that is trying to cripple us. It's time to get out of the boat, somebody. It's time to stop being a spectator and be a participant in what God is doing. It's time to start serving with your gifts, talents, and abilities. It's time to say, you know what? I may not be perfect. I may have a lot of things that I'm dealing with right now, but I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm not just going to watch God do the miraculous. I'm going to be a part of the miraculous. Real change takes place when we trust God, even in the midst of our greatest trial, our greatest struggle. All hell is breaking loose in my life, but God, I'm going to trust you. God, you're faithful. God, I know that even though the valley of the shadow of death is what I'm facing, I can fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they're comforting me and they're guiding me. You are doing it in me and through me, and I trust you, Lord. God sent me this morning to communicate that real change comes through perseverance. Somebody needs to persevere through what you're dealing with. The doctor's report may not be what you wanted it to be, but God is our great physician, and he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more. The church should be full of water walkers. I'm going to say it again. The church should be full of water walkers. Christians should be the toughest and most resilient people on the planet because we have the greatest hope, and that hope is Jesus. We should be thick-skinned and soft-hearted, church. We should be people who have a tenacity about us that we're not going to give in, we're not quit, we're not going to give up, we're going to push through, and we're going to do impossible things through Christ. I love this quote. It says that perseverance is the hard work that we do after getting tired of the hard work we've already done. Perseverance is the hard work we do after getting tired of doing the hard work we already did. Paul said it like this in Galatians, "Do not grow weary in doing good, because in due time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up." The harvest is coming, church. Water walking Christians are coming to Life Church in Jesus' name. The disciples were dog tired from the work they'd already done. They were in a season where they were tired, and Peter, he still asked Jesus, "If that's you, call me out. If that's you, can I come?" And Paul shot straight with us in Romans 5. It's so powerful. I love this passage. He said, "Not only so, we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character will produce hope. And that hope will not disappoint us. It will not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Our perseverance will produce character. Our character will be hope. And hope will not disappoint because it's in Jesus. He wins, church. He wins. The hope we have in Jesus will not disappoint you and I. We serve a God who is still true to his word, church. That's good news this morning. And the challenge this morning is this: nothing truly great comes from a comfort zone. Nothing truly great. Real change comes through real challenge. That's tough, I know. But if you will receive that with an open heart, God will call you out on the water. I want to show us, as we begin to close, every biblical hero that I look at in God's word went through major adversity to become someone great. Every single one. Character was not automatic. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but my character was developed through hardship. My character was chiseled out of me because God needed to chip some things off of my life. Come on, somebody. My character came through going through the refiner's fire. Come on, somebody. Character is not automatic. It's produced through adversity. The storm that you're going through is to produce character. It's to produce something special. Every miracle in God's word takes place in the middle of a mess. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying Moses had a burning bush encounter with God that took him out of his comfort zone to go toe-to-toe with the world's superpower. Can I tell you that was not comfortable? That was not a comfort zone. David would have never become a man after God's own heart without first being agitated by the giant. His character was developed in a cave as he ran for his life from Saul. Daniel had to fast. He had to die to himself, crucify the flesh, and abstain from the king's table before he could be seen and recognized as being 10 times better than anyone else. I could go on and on and on. So I think I will. I got the microphone this morning. Come on, somebody. Are y'all ready for God's word? I want to invite the band as I continue to close. I'm going to continue for a little bit longer. But thank you for coming quickly. If you came to church for real change this morning, will you help me preach for a second? Come on, somebody. I need a holler back crowd right now. If you came for God to move, someone is about to step out of the boat and experience real change this morning. I believe it in Jesus' name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have to face the fiery furnace before the king would have to see there's another in the fire. There's someone else with them. Only three went in, but there's four. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. Praise God. Abraham would have to overcome doubt in his old age and impotence to become the father of faith as he became the father of many nations. Come on, somebody. Ruth had to lose her husband and cling to Naomi before she could be considered the wise widow that would marry her husband, Redeemer Boaz, that would eventually be in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this morning. Gideon was told to fight short-handed with the odds stacked against him, and God reduced his army to hundreds when he would have to face thousands of men with just a few hundred, because God wanted Gideon to be overwhelmed so that the victory would only be seen as the Lord's. Someone in this room has the odds stacked against you. I know it. The odds are stacked against you, and God sent me to encourage your heart. Victory is coming, and all the credit is going to be God's. All the credit is going to be the Lord's. It may not make sense right now. It may not feel good right now, but people are about to look at your situation and see that you have the Lord Almighty on your side. God is about to give you the courage to walk on the waters of the storm that you're facing in this life right now. I sense the power and the anointing of His presence, because God is calling us out. He's calling us forward. He's calling us deeper. Noah had to navigate the flood in order to save his family and save our future. Nehemiah would never have become a stellar leader without the walls of his hometown being destroyed. If something seems to be destroyed in your life, God can use you to rebuild it in Jesus' name. He's calling you out. Joseph had to endure 13 years of the pit before he would be elevated to the palace. Somebody's about to be promoted in this house. Somebody's about to be lifted up. If you'll just hear Jesus calling you out on the water. Thank you, God. Don't you see? Can you sense it? Can you see it in God's word? Can you begin to recognize that my original argument is so valid? The statement that God will never give us more than we can't handle is simply not true in the context of God's word. Saul would have never become Paul without being knocked off his high horse. On the road to Damascus, God would have to blind him before he could truly see. And this is the most powerful. Even Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, had to endure the humility, the pain, the scourge of Calvary's cross. The chastisement that we deserved was placed upon him in a cup of torture and torment that he begged God to take from him. God, I can't handle this. If this cup could be taken from me, will you do it? But then he said, but not my will, but your will be done. Jesus had to submit himself to the cross in order to save the world from sin. It was more. I hope these examples can help you realize this morning it's normal to go through difficulty and pain. It's normal. You are okay. You're in the right place. God still has you exactly where he wants you. We live in a broken world, church. It's tainted by sin. God didn't set things up to hurt you, but we live in a world that is broken by sin. The struggles and the painful situations that we're facing are being used to produce real change in us and through us. God sent me to help put a new lens on our vision, see these things through. God wants me to be a messenger of hope to help you and I recognize that the trial that we're enduring will become the catalyst of the real change God is orchestrating for our life. The trial that you're in right now, the struggle, the fire, the storm that you're facing right now will be the catalyst of real change. I want to invite you to stand all across this room. Stand to your feet and prepare your hearts for this holy moment. The question is this, and it's a real question, and it's very, very, very important for your future, for the future of our church, for what God wants to do in us and through us. You need to really grapple this morning with this question. The question is, are you going to stay in your comfort zone? Are you going to get out of the boat? Are you going to stay where it's safe? Are you going to walk on water? I think one of the biggest dangers of the modern church that we're facing today is the reality that 11 disciples stayed on the boat and only one asked Jesus if he could walk on water. I think, unfortunately, most of us read that story and we decide that we can play it safe and still be on the boat. We can play it safe and still be in Jesus' inner circle. We can still be comfortable and still have the protection. We can still be around the anointing. Our mantra at Life Church is this. It's John 10:10. Jesus has called us to life and life that is abundant. Come on, somebody. The enemy of our soul will produce storms that are going to try to steal, kill, and destroy us. But Jesus has come to give us life. And Jesus wants the people of Life Church to walk on water. To walk on water. To do impossible things. To believe God, for all things are possible. Thank you, God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the way we're going to close this service, I can't help but be reminded, Peter was bold enough to say, if it's you, Jesus, call me out. But his first conversation with Jesus was really incredible. Jesus had asked Peter if he could borrow his boat so that he could teach and preach to a multitude of people. And it was the first encounter that Peter and Jesus had had. And after he finished preaching, Peter and Jesus had a dialogue, and Jesus said, hey, Peter, why don't you push off and go into the deep and let's go catch some fish? And Peter, recognizing Jesus and the authority that was in him, he said, Jesus, I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught a thing. But he said seven very important words. He said, but first of all, we may not like what Jesus is doing in us and through us, but we're going to submit. But if you say so, I will. If you say so, I will. Jesus called them to push off and fish, and they caught more fish than the boat could contain. Jesus and Peter, their relationship started with a small step. Push off, and let's go fishing. And there was a small step. Here's the deal. God wants you to take a small step of faith. Maybe this morning you're not going to walk on water, but maybe today is the day that you take that small step that Jesus has been calling you. He said, I'm calling you deeper. I'm calling you into the deep waters. Go do something you know how to do, and I'm going to show you how it's really done. I'm going to take you deeper. I'm going to take you more intimate. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to spur you. I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone. If that's you this morning, I challenge you and I dare you. You can't get to the water walking without being obedient in the small thing first. You got to be obedient to his still small voice, and then he'll call you out on the waves. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for the individual that walked in this room and they're facing a storm. You're about to give them power to walk above the trial, the tribulation, the storm of this life that they're facing. So, God, right now, the simple mandate, the simple call is your voice to come. Come deeper. If you're facing a storm and you need to walk above the wind and the waves, you need Jesus to help you walk above your circumstance. You need Jesus to help you get out of your comfort zone so that you can grow into the man and woman of God that God has purposed and planned you to be. If you want more of God, if you want more of His kingdom, if you want to see the miraculous, if you want to live a life to the fullest that is full of adventure, if you want to not be like the others, but you want to get out of your boat, out of your comfort zone, and say, Jesus, I want real change in this area of my life, I dare you to come. I dare you to pray. I dare you to ask God to spur you on to grace and forgiveness, spur you on to greatness, spur you on to the next level of your relationship with Him. God, I pray for your anointing to fall as we pray. In Jesus' name, if you want to go deeper, come to this altar. We'd love to pray with you.